Hello, welcome again to the Macro and Volatility Podcast, where we discuss the world of investing through the lens of cross-asset and derivative frameworks. My name is Michael Purvis of Talbach & Capital Advisors, a macro research firm for institutional investors. I'm here with my good friend and fellow markets prognosticator, Josh Silva.
Hello, I'm Josh Silva of Passaic Partners, a boutique asset manager that focuses on producing alpha through the use of derivatives. Today is September 10th, 2024.
So Josh, we had the VIX surge in early August, pretty out of the blue, reflecting the market structure, liquidity, and dispersion trade issues we discussed in earlier podcasts. That spike fell nearly as rapidly as it climbed, and then the VIX settled into a classic late August lull. Still, that lull was not a VIX at an 11-12 level type of lull. Actually, it had a hard time staying beneath 16. There has been a steady tension within the VIX since then, even with so much of this market structure related issues having been cleaned out by that giant VIX surge. So here we are, the VIX is around 20 as we're talking, and for the last couple of days, the VIX curve has been inverted, reflecting stress. So Josh, what is your take on the VIX market?
Well, first, equities are moving. The historical vol is actually alive. No more, we haven't had a 2% down day in X percentage of days, weeks, or months. And I do think a lot of this comes from overtrading of data for all intents and purposes. Equities either scared or excited about the Fed or the data that the market perceives the Fed to be excited about. That's driving these huge up moves and down moves on days like non-farms. While we're seeing a decent move in the front end of the curve as the prospect of lower rates gets more and more priced into market, the back end of the curve really isn't moving that much. In fact, we're not seeing that much volatility in the 10-year. The other part in the fixed income part of the curve is that credit is tightening. As interest rates go lower, credit's tightening. That is usually a vol dampening aspect to market. So what I would argue is that equities have volatility for the sake of volatility. Equities have seen a big round trip. As people try to figure out what this data means and what the Fed is going to do or anticipating the Fed. In reality, equities haven't moved since June. It's been a heck of a round trip, but we're right where we were towards the end of June. As they said in Caddyshack, we've seen some general bad catting, or I would say general bad trading in our world. Sorry for that bad joke. Michael, what are your thoughts about why equity volatility is so high yourself?
Well, Josh, I would agree with what you just said and outlined here, but we're also in a market, it's really craving clarity on policy, be that fiscal policy or monetary policy. And here we are on the September 10th in the afternoon recording this, and we have this big debate tonight between the two presidential contenders, and we'll learn something about tariffs and corporate tax rates, extent of regulatory push and so forth from the respective candidates. But I would suggest, Josh, that even if there's resounding clarity, it's still a coin toss as to who wins the White House. So it's really hard to put on a Trump trade or a Harris trade generally there. And I'm not sure how much more we're going to learn over the next few weeks here. With respect to monetary policy, let's see what the September meeting gives here on the 25 or 50 basis point cuts. But here's the thing. The market is craving some level of clarity on policy, and specifically what type of cutting cycle are we looking at? Not just what happens in this meeting, but are we going into a full-throated cutting cycle or not? The problem is that Powell is really clinging to this data dependency, which means that we're not going to get a ton of clarity at the September meeting about what this cutting cycle looks like. How far and how low will the Fed go? So right now, there's more than 8 cuts are priced in for the next 9 months. If we don't get a proper cutting cycle signaled because of the data or whatnot, that means yet another bout of rate volatility. Josh, as I've stressed in the past, I think we're entering a regime shift and higher rate volatility than what we knew in the years leading up to COVID. One other point needs to be considered here. September and October win the prize for having the most volatility of any of the months of the year. I think it's important to remember that last year we had a strong year in the equity market, but we had a volatile bear trend from August through the end of October, and then a very strong finish to the year. Right now, we're up about 13% year to date. And a year ago, at this same point in time, that figure was about 16%, very similar. The market continued to sell off last year into and through October, as I mentioned. But then in November, you know, we had a very strong November, December to finish up the year, lifting the S&P 500 to yet another fresh high. The bear narrative is a bit different this time than it was a year ago, but I think the overall bull trend is still intact here. It's important to remember how strong the November and December periods can be. Last year, those 2 months represented almost half of the S&P's 24% gain for the year. So, Josh, any final thoughts?
Yeah, I'm with you, Mike. Michael, I feel like, you know, very much in the same breath of what you're talking about last year, it's very, very feeling the same way. And I also think to add in, we need to get through this election. Once we do, I think the market could really trend higher from here. Earnings continue to be strong. We're seeing a bit of a healthy rotation in this latest move. And I think we're setting up for a tech-led rally going into the end of the year post-election. I think this data dependency has created this schizophrenic market, but I also think that part of what's holding us back will clear up. It's remarkable to me how much the mood changes depending on if a red light or green light goes on a trader's computer. And I think that's going to, all of that stuff post-election is going to clear up. My one concern I do think is people are a bit too comfortable with the current inflation picture. I don't think we're out of the woods there yet, but that's a question for another day. With that, that's it for today. Again, this is Josh Silva, Passaic Partners. You can find me on Bloomberg, the website www.passaicpartners.com, or the Passaic Partners LinkedIn page.
And this is Michael Purvis at Talbach and Capital Advisors. You can find me on LinkedIn as well or on Bloomberg. Thanks very much for listening. We'll see you next time.
This podcast is for informational purposes only and is not investment advice. The information, opinions, and views expressed on this podcast are for informational purposes only and are not intended as investment advice. The opinions expressed may not align with Passaic Partners' views or its client strategies. Market forecasts are speculative and should not be the sole basis for investment decisions. Consult your financial and tax advisors before making any investments.